Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas, and this is our week one recap of college football. Football is finally back, ladies and gentlemen. We had a great week one slate of games. So let's go through some of those games, starting with the game of the week, Ohio State versus Texas. We had Ohio State's Julian Sain making his first start, along with Arch Manning's first start, not in Texas, and against a ranked team for the first time. And this was the most hyped game of the week for obvious reasons. Ohio State, national champions, and Texas Longhorns coming in for the first time ever as the number one AP team in the country. Well, this was a defensive slugfest type of game. A final score of 14-7. Ohio State pulled it out. But the key story of this game was Arch Manning. He really did not look comfortable in this game, especially in that first half. Matt Patricia, who, if you don't know him, he was a former defensive coordinator under Bill Belichick in the NFL for a lot of those Brady years. He was the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Now he is over at Ohio State running their defense. Well, he threw a lot of very good and different schemes at Arch Manning, and that really seemed to confuse him a lot, because in the first half, he looks lost out there. For a guy who's supposed to be a projected number one overall pick, a Heisman favorite, he looked pedestrian a lot of times in that game. Now, he didn't get a lot of help around him. A couple receivers dropped some touchdown passes, but other than that, Arch really did not look that good, to be completely honest. And for a guy who gets all that hype, you would expect a lot more from him than just 17 of 30, 170, a touchdown, and an interception. So, definitely could have done better. But again, it's only week one. We don't want to put too much on it, because I don't think Texas will face another defense like that until maybe they play Georgia. But then again, Georgia doesn't have an NFL defensive coordinator that's used to scheming specifically against a quarterback. Matt Patricia, he wasn't just scheming a defense. He was scheming specifically against Arch Manning, and he completely neutralized him. And Ohio State, they didn't look that good either. The number one player in the country, according to many experts, many lists, Jeremiah Smith, only 6 catches for 43 yards. And obviously Julian Sain making his first start, he went 13 of 20, 126 and a touchdown. Obviously, a lot of times the defense starts ahead of the offense in these early weeks. So expect them to pick it up as the season gets going, because Texas also has a very good defense with a bunch of guys that you'll see playing on Sundays next year. So I'm not surprised that the game ended that way, at like a 14-7 score, but it was definitely not as advertised or how any of us thought that game was going to go. And then we had our first major upset of the season. For those who don't know, Florida State quarterback Thomas Castellanos, a Boston College transfer this summer, was talking a lot directly to Alabama. He was dishing it out. He did not care. He was saying anything and everything. One of his famous quotes that he said this summer Nick Saban can't come save them. No one talks like that to Alabama. This is Alabama we're talking about. The team that dominated the 2010s. SEC championships in the 20s still. Alabama. Yeah, that Alabama. And this guy, a Boston College transfer who was benched last year, is talking like this. So, he had a lot to prove and a lot to back up coming into this game. And he honestly did that. The passing wasn't great. 9 of 14, 152, no touchdowns passing. But rushing, he had 16 rush attempts, 78 yards, and a touchdown. And Florida State won this game soundly by 14. And I don't think anyone expected this. Alabama came in 13.5-point favorites. And Florida State just came in and ran the ball all over them. It was really their running game that killed them. They had guys that went for 56, 31, 28, 22, and 14 rushing yards, respectively. So they were just beating up Alabama. That's all it was, really. Is they were taking it to Bama, and Bama didn't do anything back. And this has started a lot of discussion on, is Kalen DeBoer really that guy? Because this is now his fourth unranked loss in a season and a game for Alabama. It took Nick Saban 128 games to lose four unranked games. So, this is uncertain times for the Crimson Tide. And it really does make you wonder, can Kalen DeBoer replicate any sort of that success that Nick Saban, obviously Nick Saban is the greatest college coach of all time. So you're not going to be able to just come in and replace the GOAT. That was never like in the cards, but he has drastically disappointed from last year, the collapse they had, not making the playoffs, and then starting this season off with a 14-point loss to Florida State. An unranked Florida State, mind you. So, that happened. So, the SEC, not good through two games. And then we had our nightcap game, another ranked game between two top 10 teams. Number 9 LSU and number 4 Clemson. Garrett Nussmeier versus Cade Klubnik. Dabo Swinney versus Brian Kelly. In another slug it out game, the MVP of this game was the LSU defense. That LSU defense had not a lot of hype behind them coming into this game. Like, they weren't supposed to be the main stage of this game or the key part. That defense looked legit against Cade Klubnik in Clemson, holding them to 10 points, turning over, getting an interception, along with some turnover on downs. And the defense everyone was talking about going into this was the Clemson defense. Everyone was talking about Clemson's defense, how good they were, and how they were going to give Garrett all these problems. That was the LSU defense. The LSU defense was really making Cade uncomfortable. 19 of 38 for a 50% completion percentage. 230, no touchdowns in the pick. Yeah, that's not going to get it done. And that's another guy who's supposed to be in New York, according to a lot of people, for the Heisman ceremony in December. So, not that good of a look. And then Garrett Nussmeier wasn't his greatest day. 28-38, 230 for a touchdown. He did his job, though. He managed the game, didn't turn it over, didn't do anything stupid, and was able to pull it out for him. And so those were really the big games on Saturday. We had a lot of blowouts. Texas A&M beat up UTSA. Iowa State killed South Dakota. Tennessee really beat up on Syracuse. That was a game that I thought Syracuse could actually keep really close and even, like, cover the spread, because I really wasn't sure how Joey Aguilar, the new quarterback for Tennessee, who came in the spring, really, so kind of late, was actually going to go and perform right out the gates. Well, he did just fine, and his stat line was 16 of 28, 247, and 3 touchdowns. So, good day for Joey, and Tennessee looked very good against a Power 4 team, which a lot of SEC teams not play this week. So, Tennessee's next game is ETSU, but then week 3, they have a matchup with Georgia at home. That'll be a very good game week 3. But then we had some very good games on Sunday of college football. And these games included Virginia Tech and the number 13 ranked South Carolina Gamecocks, led by Heisman hopeful Lenore Sellers, who's also looking to be playing on Sundays next year. And this game, it started off very slow. The first quarter, end of score was 7-2. 7-2. You see a 2 on the scoreboard, makes you start asking some questions. And honestly, my takeaway from this game is that Kyren Drones, the quarterback for Virginia Tech, he's a very good athlete. He can move around very well. He's got a lot of athleticism. He just did not, he made some very, very questionable decisions in this game that I think costed them. 15 of 35 for around 40% completion percentage and 2 interceptions. And those interceptions they weren't good ones. Like, they weren't like offers. Like, these were just bad decisions that you can't make as a quarterback. You gotta know, like, when to throw the ball away, when to just take off and run, which is what he's good at. He can run, he's an athlete. But no, just not a good performance at all from Kyren, really. And then Lenore Sellers, 12 of 19, 209 yards, 60% completion percentage, somewhere around there, 1 passing and 1 rushing touchdown. So Sellers had a pretty good game. He really didn't do any, like, he didn't make any bad decisions like he did at times last year, where he would make some very questionable decisions, which would lead to South Carolina fans kind of wondering at times what he's doing. But they escaped that game with a 24-11 victory over Virginia Tech. And up next for the Gamecocks, South Carolina State should be another easy win. And I was impressed with Lenore Sellers, though. I thought he looked really good. And, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens next with them. And then, another top 10 matchup to end out the weekend. We had Miami versus Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the national championship runner-ups from last year. And this was honestly a game where I thought Notre Dame could pull out. It was also 2 new quarterbacks for both programs. CJ Carr for Notre Dame and Carson Beck for Miami. And then both quarterbacks honestly played pretty well. You had CJ Carr, 19 of 30, 221, and 2 touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and 1 pick. So 3 total touchdowns for CJ Carr. Not bad at all. And then you had Carson Beck, 205, 20 of 30, and 2 touchdowns. So both quarterbacks played really well. But honestly, there was a guy who was very hyped up coming into this game because of what he did last year, coming off an injury. He was healthy this year. Supposed to be one of the most dynamic players. And that was Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame, the running back. Again, it's week one. I don't want to go overboard with a lot of these players because they'll get better as it goes. 10 rushes for 33 yards, a 3.3 average, no touchdowns for Mr. Love, and he was not even the leading rusher on his team. That would go to Jadarian Price. 6 rushes for 45 and a 7.5 yard average. And Miami ended up winning a very close game, 27-24 at home. And again, I think this is a lot like that Ohio State-Texas game. Both teams are going to be better as the season gets along. Like, well, Notre Dame has a very tough test next week as well. They play Texas A&M. They get them at home, though. And then Miami, they have a couple weaker opponents before playing Florida in week 4. So we'll see how that goes. But, again, honestly, a very good week of college football. And we had a couple really good unranked games as well. We had, on Friday, Deion Sanders and his new look Colorado team taking on Georgia Tech. And this was a very, very good game to watch. It came down to the wire. But Georgia Tech pulled it out 27-20. Haynes King, 13-20 for 143. Really did a bulk of his work on the ground. 16 carries for 65 yards. A 4.1 average with no rushing touchdowns. So he didn't account for any. Oh, he had 3 rushing touchdowns. I'm sorry. He accounted for 3 touchdowns on his feet. And then Colorado with quarterback Caden Salter making his debut for the Buffaloes. He went 17-28, 159 for a touchdown. And 1 rushing touchdown as well, so he had 2. And this was honestly just a very good game between two teams that Georgia Tech has an identity. They like to run the ball. Haynes King, he's really not, I don't want to say he's not a threat as a passer, but you know what he wants to do, and that's run the football. And then they have a running back too, Jamal Haynes, also a very good running back. Oh, I'm sorry. Haynes King, 19 rushes for 156 yards. That was his stat line, I'm sorry. Yeah, so he really did a bunch of his work on the ground. And that's what you expect from a guy like that. He's not the fastest in the world, but he's a big guy. He'll run you over. And so you really just got to watch out for that. Another game we had on a Friday was Auburn and Baylor. Auburn is led by Oklahoma transfer Jackson Arnold, who he's bounced around a good amount now. He had a really good game. He had passing 11-17, 108, no passing touchdowns, but 16 rushes, 137 for 2 touchdowns on the ground. So, like him and Haynes King are similar guys. They can pass the ball, but you know they want to run the ball more. So I think both coaches kind of put in a game plan for that type of stuff. And so, yeah, it was honestly a great weekend of football coming back. We are going to get another good slate as well this week with games like College Game Day was just announced. That will be number 14, Michigan, traveling to Norman, Oklahoma to take on the Sooners. So that'll be a very big test for number 1 2025 quarterback Bryce Underwood and how he will handle that. Not really any more ranked matchups because a lot of those happen week 1. I'd say another good game would be Ole Miss and Kentucky. But we'll get into all that in another episode, with like betting lines, player props, and all that. But yeah, I mean, we're back. Football is back in full swing. We got NFL coming up this week as well, so it's a fun time to be a football fan. This has been the Uncensored Podcast. Thank you for listening.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.